not only of the Holocaust, because I also think of what happened in the 1948 war. I do feel with people who are going back in their minds to the Holocaust, or they are suffering now because they've lost their children, their husbands, their wives, their little babies, that it's unthinkable why they would even take little babies as hostages. It is pure evil. And if I may say on both sides, even though it's a risky sentence, but this is not what life should look like.
Welcome to the Let's Go 360 podcast. I'm Larry Fraley, your host, and I'll be bringing you conversations with outstanding mission-minded leaders with the aim of helping you develop your own spiritual life by understanding what God is doing through our guests' lives as we learn about their ministries and what God has called them to do. Well, greetings, everyone. I'm Larry Fraley, your Let's Go 360 podcast host. First of all, thank you for supporting Let's Go 360 with your positive ratings, kind comments, and referrals to your friends. Let's Go 360 is part of Christ Church of the Valley here in the greater Phoenix, Arizona area. Throughout the valley, CCV has 15 campuses where children may enjoy interactive activities that strengthen their faith, where students can learn how to be Christ-centered change agents. Regardless of where you're at in your own personal walk, adults young and old will discover a place in which they can grow and feel at home. I am in Tel Aviv, Israel right now. Been here for about a week. Had the chance to visit many of the locations that were hit by the terrorists in near Gaza. Got back late last night, and even as I've been here this week, there's been several attacks, alerts of missiles coming over. We thank God for the Iron Dome that Israel has put together that has intercepted most of those rockets. But today's podcast, I'm here with Salim Hanna. Salim and Indira has been dear friends of CCV. We helped start their churches, and when I say churches, we've helped with six of them throughout the years as a church plants. They're here in Israel, proclaiming the Word of God, reaching Arabs and Jews alike as they minister here, and the Lord has blessed them, and they're here with their families. So I'm here today to talk with Salim as to what is happening right now in Israel. First of all, Salim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you, and glad that you are here, even in those difficult circumstances, but we appreciate you making the trip.
Well, we're honored to be here, and it will not stop here. What I learned here during this trip, we will take back and figure out how to mobilize the churches in the U.S., particularly Amen. With CCV. Salim, Amen. how has this, to get right to the point, how has this affected the churches, your families? You live in the north part of Israel.
Well, it has affected in many different ways, and if I want to start with the situation, the war situation itself, even in Gaza, when we think about it, the church in Gaza that was hit, the evangelical church, my father used to go down there once a month to minister in the church, and I remember very fondly the times that we had with the people there. And of course, today, many of the Christians have left, but to see what's going on and how innocent people are being the shield used to cover up for the evil, and I'm going to use that word because that is truly what is happening, and this evil is being felt, and it has brought the people in the churches to a certain place where they are crying out to the Lord in unison. And when I say in unison, last week we had a prayer meeting for all the leadership, Jews and Arab leadership in the country. We met and we had a long day just praying for the situation, praying for each other, and praying against the evil that is taking place. But the people in the churches have been affected in many ways. Even though we live up in the north in a more safe or secure area because it's predominantly Arab, but still there are certain threats that are taking place in different areas of our life.
Well, you certainly have Lebanon up there and Hezbollah that is threatening. And that's always a threat. I know, you know, I've lived a while through the Vietnam era, and I was able to see some horrific things that happened then. Of course, my father was in World War II and shared with me a lot of the things that happened during his generation. And of course, that was during the Holocaust. I can't help but see the things going on, especially as I visited yesterday, Berea, where 300 terrorists attacked a small kibbutz of 150 people, almost all of them killed. But some of the things that they did were barbaric. Not even ISIS would kill babies in the womb. And these are some of the after scenes that I saw that happened there. It can't help but remind me of the Holocaust. Do you think of that as well?
That's a very good question, and I have to say yes. And not only of the Holocaust, because I also think of what happened in the 1948 war, where, if I want to use the term, our people, my people, the Arabs, were also affected in that sense, and they had to evacuate, and many of them had to leave their homes, not knowing if they were going to ever come back. And some were able to come back, some others were not allowed to come back at all until after maybe 10 years. They were allowed to go into their homes, but they actually found that they weren't their homes anymore. And this is kind of also what is happening right now, because people are being asked to evacuate from the north, but many of them don't want to leave because they're remembering what happened in 1948, and they don't want this to happen again. They don't want to leave and then all of a sudden find out that somebody came and took over their homes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as a Christian believer, and this is where I have to make that distinction, I feel. But as a Christian believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ who loved everyone, and his death on the cross was for everyone, and he did not differentiate at all, I do feel with people who are going back in their minds to the Holocaust, or they are suffering now because they've lost their children, their husbands, their wives, their little babies, that it's unthinkable why they would even take little babies as hostages. But like my wife was saying as well, you know, just the mother heart goes out to all of the mothers and what they're going through at this time. And so, yes, as a Christian believer, we feel with all of the people here, and we're just praying that the Lord will bring an end to this. But that at the same time, our prayer is that it is only through Jesus that true peace will come. And so we're also praying for salvation. I don't know how it'll happen, but God knows. Mm-hmm. He has the way to bring his salvation to people, to all people, so that their eyes and hearts will be open to the truth. Because what's happening is pure evil. Again, I use that word. It is pure evil. And if I may say on both sides, even though it's a risky sentence, but this is not what life should look like.
Yes. Yeah. Well, God bless you, brother, for having that spirit of faith, because you're living through a true test. And to be able to still have Jesus' love in your heart and trying to look at people the way Jesus would look at people is very, very significant, and certainly a testimony of your faith. Now, I know your churches are trying to figure out how to respond to this. I mean, this has just happened recently, and so trying to mobilize your church in an environment that's happening right now, I know is difficult. Indira couldn't be here today because, one reason, she's leading a prayer meeting with the ladies, right?
Yes. Yes, we're having... she's part of the House of Prayer ministry in Nazareth. And ever since this war started, they've been having meetings every night with all of the young people coming together and people just coming to pray before the Lord. But more importantly, I wouldn't say more importantly, but as important as well, is just trying to keep up and minister to women, whether in our churches or mostly to the young people who are so frustrated because they don't understand, we don't understand what's going on. And they're having some issues with their with friends that they study with in the universities or are with together in the dorms, or they go even to the gym together, all of a sudden, you know, it's like the Jews are taking sides against the Arabs, and those friendships are being so much affected. And so we're trying to be there for the young people as well, trying to encourage them, trying to keep their eyes focused on the Lord as well. And just to keep that forgiveness in their hearts, you know, this, I don't want to use the word tolerance, but it seems like in a certain way, yes, we have to just keep holding on to each other until those circumstances pass, and that the Lord will give that wisdom to the leadership to know how to deal with the young people in this next generation, because we believe in the next generation and they're the ones who are going to be taking all of this on. And so we want them to be as healthy as possible.
That has to be extremely difficult too. How do you look into the face of your child who's saying, Dad, why is this going on? Why is this happening? How do you respond to that?
Well, it's not easy. Not easy at all. My son is, he studies in Tel Aviv at the university, and they had to postpone the beginning of the academic year twice already. And now it seems like they postponed it until the December 3rd, but most probably they've lost the semester, which means they're going to have to add another semester onto their full program. But just seeing him sitting around, not, you know, he can't even do any kind of work, and the frustration in their eyes, like you're saying, I don't know. It's difficult because it's like there's questions that we don't have answers to, and but at the same time we need to try and give them answers. And how do you do that? It's difficult.
Now, your daughter and her husband are both in the medical field, right? In fact, I think you mentioned that Rahad's studying disaster relief.
Yes.
What is she doing right now?
Well, she both of them are emergency staff, medical emergency staff, and in two different hospitals. And they've had to... The shifts have been changed to 12-hour shifts because all of the Jewish staff are on reserves and in the military. And so they had to change the shifts, hour shifts, for those who are at the hospitals. Of course, that means that their son has to be, because school was also out, so the grandparents on both sides are trying to help. But one of the things that are, I can't share a lot, but one of the things that my daughter shared with me is, again, going back to this Jewish-Arab relationship, where she says, we're in the emergency room helping a soldier or some a Jewish person who was affected in some way to actually save their life. But then you don't see even a glimpse of gratitude from the soldiers to them. Why? Because we're Arabs. Even though, you know, this is a nurse helping you to stay alive, but because she's an Arab, all of a sudden, you know, I don't appreciate what they're what she's doing. And so it's causing this frustration again on the inside. I know that, I mean, I want to take the opportunity to also thank CCV and you for the for standing with us at this time, because we were able to, we see the need. We work with ministries, Jewish ministries, that are trying to also accommodate people who are coming in from the south, and we want to help, but at the same time, it's difficult for us to help. Again, it's going, it's all of this conflict, Jewish-Arab conflict, and it's difficult to put yourself in a place, because then your Arab brothers are going to say, why are you helping the Jews? And the Jews are against the Arabs. They're hitting and killing in Gaza and all of that. So we're standing in a very difficult position, but yet we want to help. And so we were able to help with the contribution that CCV helped us with, or through us, we were able to help two messianic organizations that are helping bring in people from the south, and also trying to do something with the little children to get their minds off of what they experienced and what they saw. And so that's on one hand. But then on the other hand, whether it is, you asked about my daughter, but it's like what we're trying to do is to see how we can also help the people who in our churches and in our communities who have been affected very specifically also financially, because they haven't been able to go to work. And not only because the work is in the center of the country, but it's also because they're working in with Jews, and many of them have had to be asked to leave, let's say, their jobs because of this conflict now rising in a different way.
Mm-hmm. You know, as pastors, how do you personally manage your emotions and provide and still provide support for your congregation during this time?
You're asking very difficult questions, my brother, but because when you stand behind the pulpit, you know that you're a messenger of God, but at the same time we're humans and we've got our feelings and emotions and reactions. Behind the pulpit, you want to be a minister of the Lord, a son of God who does not differentiate. And we have to be that in all of the areas of our lives, not only behind the pulpit. So you want to make sure that who you are behind the pulpit is the same person not behind the pulpit. And because we live with the people, and there's a lot of self-seeking inside into our hearts, making sure that that our hearts are clean before the Lord, that we are okay with the people, we are okay with the other side of the people who are living in this country. And I remind you that we're Israelis, we're Arabs, Christian Arab Israelis or Christian Arabs living in Israel, but we also have many Christian friends and families in the West Bank. And so trying to connect and to bring together this unity of the Arab believers, let's say, specifically in the West Bank, in the Palestinian areas, and Israel, and the Jews, puts us in a very difficult situation. But it's only with the Lord's help and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that we take it step by step.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly going to include a lot of information in our show notes, but Salim and his team of pastors belong to an organization that we support called the Christian Holy Land Foundation, and that is found on the website. What's the name of the website? I can never remember whether it's .org or .com.
.org, CHLF.org.
Yeah, and we'll include that in the in our show notes that you can see more about their ministries. You can actually meet the team in Galilee and read more about what is happening here. You know, I guess jumping to what can our church do, what can CCV do, I guess my mind goes to things like, as I mentioned earlier, about being concerned about your well-being and your team's well-being and as pastors. When we talked earlier, the original plan was to send maybe a small team of pastors from our church to come alongside you guys. That plan didn't happen. And so I view this trip sort of as a precursor to that, to kind of collect information. We don't know what the future holds, but when there is a window to do that, we certainly would want to try and do that, just to come alongside you, support you, as pastors and brothers in Christ, so that you can be the leader that God and leaders that God has, that wants you to be. I'm assuming that is something that you would welcome.
Amen. Yes. The thing is that the need that we have is not only current, because the situation in Israel is continuing, and we don't even know this war, how long it's going to last and what the outcome of it is going to be. And even though we've got some people who are in the counseling fields or in psychological fields, but they are people who are also in the same boat, so to speak. Yes, we would appreciate very much. I don't know how exactly we will do it, but I believe that there are places that we can help each other. And one example is, like I mentioned to you, my daughter who studied she has a degree in dealing with natural disasters and war calamities like we're going through right now. And we realize that many of us in the Arab sector, in the Arab community, we don't know. We don't serve in the military. We don't know what to do in emergency cases. We don't learn this in schools. And there's a lot of education that needs to be done. And so at least she is one person that I would like for you to connect with her and to see how, you know, we can work together with her, because she also has in her heart to try and educate the churches and the people in the ways or what we need to do. The psychological help, other than that, let me put it in a different way. We don't have shelters. That now, this something new that we've seen is there are mobile shelters that are being installed in places where they don't have shelters. That is one way that we could, you know, I'm just sharing with you some of the things that we feel we need, because our buildings, that's a long story, why we don't have shelters in our houses, in our buildings. In the new buildings, they have, because it's the law, but the majority of the older buildings and older villages don't have shelters. And so those mobile shelters could be an answer. One of the ways that we're thinking actually also of, if people are coming in, where are we going to take them in? And so we started even to think of tents that would be of good material even to hold, because we're coming into the winter and we don't know how long this is going to that we can, if we had some tents that we could put them up in places near the church, they could use the facilities of the church, you know, bathroom and so on, but at least we'll be able to have tents with beds and mattresses to accommodate them. Because we live in the northern part of Israel, and so anybody coming down from the northern border is going to come to us. They're not going to go south more than where we live, because the more south they go, the more they enter into a more dangerous zone. So these are some of the thoughts. I mean, if this escalates, we don't know if we're going to be able to have enough, you know, just like what's happening, food, water, all of those questions that we don't know exactly what we will do, and we're trying to be ready for them. And so again, any help in how to be ready is appreciated.
Well, we can certainly talk more about that. But those are exactly the kinds of things that I think CCV can help with. Because of COVID, we decided to put forth a major effort inside of CCV to identify the medical members at CCV and attendees. And because we've got such large numbers, I mean, even though we're running 40,000 on the weekend, the sad part is that most people only attend about two and a half times a month, which means the real attendance of CCV is probably closer to 60,000. Of that number, you can imagine how many people in healthcare there are, doctors, physicians, and all of that. And we've been able to really kind of identify that and put forth a major focus in this medical sector. And even as I speak, we're trying to assemble a trauma team led by Dr. Jeff Jernigan, who's a psychologist, who's been working with CCV Missions to help put this trauma team together. His wife, another doctor, Nancy, is also trained in trauma care. And so that would be an example of how we could assemble a small team of trauma care specialists who might come over and just help with people like your daughter and her husband who work in emergency rooms, ER rooms. We have so many ER doctors that I've gone on mission trips with. And of course, they've just coming out of COVID, working 12-hour shifts, dealing with trauma and dealing with the people coming in. Those are all people that I think that have learned something that can come alongside and share what they've learned and even take some things home with them that they would learn here. But I know they would be open to doing that. So I look forward to kind of working with you and figure out how we might be able to do something in that space as well.
Amen. In response, as you were talking, I remembered my son-in-law, who is this nurse at the emergency room in Haifa. He was sharing with me, I asked him, and he was sharing with me how difficult it is for him and, you know, just what they're seeing and what they have to deal with. And it's psychologically heavy on them, other than they are of course, obligated to fulfill their jobs as well. And so we were thinking that if we had psychological help, and if, like you're saying, if there are psychological help also with people who are in the medicine world, so they would understand perfectly how to help, even just to be here and listen, you know, let the people who are in the medical care, for example, or in different areas dealing directly with the people, to have somebody to listen to them, to hear them out, for them to share their hearts. And I hope you understand me when I say that it's easier. If I were in their place, it's easier for me to share with someone who is not from my world than sharing my feelings with someone who is from within my community directly. And so if there are people like this who would come and they have the time to go and sit and just talk and let those people, you know, let them empty out their kind of, you know, their feelings and their reactions into the ears of someone who knows how to answer and how to respond, that is going to be such a great help. One of the a young lady who is kind of like our adopted spiritual daughter works in the hospital here in Tel Aviv, and my wife has spent many hours with her on the phone, especially when the sirens would go out, because of the stress that she goes into during those times. And so, yes, we need that help. We need it for us so that we can give it to others, but we also need it so that people will have a place to share their feelings and kind of, just kind of bring everything to a certain logical, mm-hmm. sane place where they can continue to live and continue to serve the Lord even through their jobs.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much, Salim, for spending time here. Even as I'm listening to you, I'm watching the app that we were given to alert us when a missile attack is coming, and I just got one while you were talking. And it was not for here, but it was for a town called Eilat. And that is right down at the border where they're asking the Gazian people to go to escape. And yet now you see how evil is the Hamas is actually bombing the people that are trying to escape. It's just horrific. So again, I thank you for our time together, brother. In closing, how can we as a church pray for you?
I would really encourage you to pray for specifically our young people. The questions that they, you know, it's like they were having to deal with social issues before, and then all of a sudden, these social issues and gender issues, these are things that are coming into our world, and we're having to answer to those and work with them. But now all of a sudden, it's like their minds have shifted to a place where they are wondering. There are actually many of them. There's a sense and a language that is being heard by many of the young people. They're looking into their future and they're saying, it doesn't look like we as Arabs have a future here. And they're thinking of immigrating. They're thinking of finding places and countries where they can go and study. And if they go and study, then they're not going to come back. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, I dare to say that this is one of those things that, you know, if you look at it, this is one of those things that maybe, I'm not going to continue that sentence, but we don't want them to leave. Yes. And we want them to stay here because this is where they are. This is where the Lord has put them. And we want to help them and encourage them to stay firm and keep their eyes on the Lord. But praying for the young people is and their safety and their mental well-being in all of this and their relationships with the young people. Now, when university life opens up again, they're going to be faced with Jews, their friends, and we don't know. I mean, we're already seeing it in some places. The verbal attack and the verbal, let's say, so far it's been verbal violence from the Jews towards the Arabs, because it's like, you know, and then vice versa, the Arabs against the Jews, because the Arabs they're accusing Israel of attacking the innocent mm-hmm. people in Gaza, and the Arabs. The Jews are against the Arabs because it, mm-hmm. for them, all Arabs are terrorists, but that is not true. There are many good Arabs. everywhere in the country and everywhere around this area as well, the Middle East. And so it's just this that the Lord will somehow open the eyes of people. And another prayer request would be for the leadership, just that the Lord will give us wisdom to know how to deal with all of this. And then, of course, just to keep us safe, and mostly not only us, but I think of some friends that we have in Gaza who they put their families in the church because that was a safe place, and then the church was attacked. So it's like the evil one is really attacking in every area. And so that question is, you know, where is God in all of this? How can you answer that? That is not an easy question, but these are matters of prayer.
Yeah. Well, we know that God can always take things that are evil and turn them into good. Yes. We've seen that over and over again, and we just pray that that happens here. To the magnitude that there is evil that's taking place, we pray that that same magnitude, tenfold good, will take place. We pray that even in these small things, like your daughter treating someone who does not appreciate the care, that person stops and thinks, wow, wait a minute, this person did show me compassion. This person did show me love. And the seeds are planted at that level. Well, brother, thanks again for joining us. And we'll continue to pray for you. I commit to you that we will go back, figure out more and put more time into how we can actually mobilize our church to come alongside you and your team here.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Let's Go 360 podcast, sponsored by Christ Church of the Valley. Check out CCV at ccv.church and our missions activity at ccv.church/missions, where we are trying to fulfill the Great Commission, inspired by the Great Commandments.